Benedict Phillips Sardow is Affiliate Professor, School of Marine Affairs, University of Washington, Seattle, USA. Prior to November 2004, he was Chief International Institutions and Liaison Services in the Fisheries and Aquaculture Department of the FAO. He was Secretary to the FAO Committee on Fisheries, the COFI, and Advisory Committee to Fisheries Research. He was a member and vice chair of the FAO Advisory Committee on Marine Resource Research between 1981 and 88, member and leader of the Sub-Saharan Africa on the FAO, World Bank, UNDP, Norway Global Thematic Evaluation of Aquaculture, member and chair of the Program Committee for Islam Board of Trustees, and recently panel chair for the third external program and management review of World Fisheries Center. For several years, Dr. Sardow has been the director of a regional fisheries project covering 20 coastal countries in West Africa, from Mauritania to Angola. He has authored more than 50 professional and technical papers and 4 book chapters in fisheries and aquaculture. Dr. Sardow, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to make a presentation this morning on aquaculture development, current status, and future trends in sub-Saharan Africa. This is a region in which the least production for aquaculture development globally is produced. But it has registered a fivefold increase in production since 1998 to 2008. There's been an emergence and intensification of private sector-led small-scale and medium-sized enterprises, as well as an expansion of large commercial ventures stimulated in several cases, or in some cases, by growing public support and inflow of foreign capital. There's also been introduction, refinement, and improvements in new technologies. There's been the importance of private sector-public sector linkages in aquaculture, as some governments have realized that their role should be to facilitate and coordinate activities and provide an enabling environment for business to prosper. Management practices in some of the undertakings adhere to standard sanitary processes and strategies are adopted to safeguard producers and consumers. These are the highlights, and we'll try as much as possible to re-emphasize them as we go through this presentation. In terms of social and economic background, the region covers 55 countries, which have been divided into 5 sub-regions for aquaculture purposes by FAO. The total population in mid-2009 of this region was about 800 million persons. Fertility rates are high, and growth rate is greater than 2% per year. There's a preponderance of young, under 15, about 29% of the population, compared to, say, 7% in Latin America. There's a high incidence of HIV, AIDS, and other preventable diseases, such as tuberculosis and malaria, and it is reported that in many countries, or in several countries, greater than 2% of the people are carriers of HIV/AIDS. Agriculture plays a dominant role in livelihoods. There are significant differences in the GDP per capita, ranging from $290 for the Democratic Republic of Congo to well over $21,000 in the Equatorial Guinea. There's been a stagnation in marine capture fisheries production, with limited increases from inland fisheries production over the last decade. The share of fisheries in national economies is generally less than 2%, and the share of aquaculture in national economies is much more insignificant. The region is the lowest in terms of fish consumption worldwide, and it is declining. The current consumption is about 7.8 kilograms per year. There's a high demand for fish in several countries, and many countries are net importers of fish. The general characteristics of the sector can be summarized as follows. Aquaculture is practiced in all the three aquatic environments, and we have small-scale, low-input systems, small and medium-sized enterprises, as well as large-scale undertakings. The greatest concentration and the greatest production is, however, from fresh water. There is a changing profile of aquaculture producers and service providers, as more educated and influential people have become interested in the sector and indeed involved in the sector. New production systems such as cages and tanks have been introduced, refined, or improved. Integrated farming systems, be it integrated agriculture, aquaculture, integrated irrigation, aquaculture, or aquaculture rice-based systems are being promoted in a number of countries. The importance of this cannot be overemphasized because, on the one hand, it ensures the use of local knowledge as well as experiences. At the same time, it integrates aquaculture into farming operations and also helps to, it has been shown also to increase micronutrient intakes. The management of small and medium-sized enterprises are vertically integrated, environmentally responsible, and socially acceptable. In terms of production and growth, there was a five-fold increase in production between 1998 and 2008, from about 43,000 in 1998 to well over 238,000 in 2008. The annual rate of increase was about 15.8% between 1998 and 2008, but it was 19.9% between 2000 and 2008. The top producers, the 10 top producers include Nigeria, Uganda, Madagascar, Gambia, as well as other countries. For several years, Nigeria has remained the main leader, but there are a number of other countries which are making tremendous progress, such as Ghana, Uganda, Madagascar, Zambia. Nigeria, Uganda, and Madagascar, among them, produced 87% of the total production from sub-Saharan Africa in 2008. In terms of regions or sub-regions, the central region and the southern region are the least producers. You will notice there that northern Africa has the least production, but there is only one country in this particular region, that is Sudan. That is why we consider Central Africa and Southern Africa as the least producers. In terms of geographical region, aquatic environment, the greatest production, 95%, was from freshwater, 4% was from mariculture, but mariculture produced 11% in terms of volume. The wealth-generating potential of mariculture is best exemplified when we look at what is happening in two sub-regions, central and southern region. Here we have the production in terms of volume are similar or very close, but in terms of value, the southern region produced more than four times that of the central region because 80% of the production from the southern region are mainly from mariculture. Mariculture is therefore, at this stage, a very promising and emerging sector, sub-sector, in sub-Saharan Africa, and many countries are interested in mariculture. The catfishes, the tilapias, the cyprinids, and mullets constituted the main species, producing close to 92%. The catfishes, in particular, constituted 52% of the production in 2008, and this species is playing a very major role in terms of trade in the Great Lakes region. In terms of resources, services, and technologies, Africa has plenty of land. In fact, studies have shown that 30% of the land area in Africa would be useful for aquaculture. However, 65% of arable land in Africa is being degraded through poor agricultural practices and deforestation. Although degraded land could be used for aquaculture, the main problem is a question of land insecurity in terms of ownership and lease, as well as high competition from other sectors, crop, livestock, and developers. Water is available, but fresh water in Africa is a scarce resource, even though people will tell you that there's plenty of water. In Africa, fresh water is very difficult to get, to come by, but the problem is not because it's not available, but it's a question of management. And therefore, if we are to make progress in terms of aquaculture in Africa, much more emphasis will have to be placed on good freshwater management. In terms of seeds and feeds, these are inadequate in terms of quantity and quality, but not a lot of progress have been done or have taken place by the private sector in recent years. For example, in Uganda, there are 9 tilapia and 11 catfish hatcheries, which in 2007 produced 1.6 million fingerlings or seeds. In Ghana, the production in 2003 by the private sector was less than 1%, but in 2007, the private sector produced 90% of the 14 million fingerlings that was produced in that country. In terms of feed, it is estimated that in 2008, there were feed production in the region was 400,000 tons, 260,000 tons of which was produced from Uganda. The importance of feed in aquaculture as well as seed is best exemplified in the case of Uganda, where we have seen that there's been a drastic increase in production as a result of the production and the utilization of these two inputs. Genetic resources. The importance here is laid on characterization as well as selective breeding, together with the prevention of the importation or introduction or movement of exotic species into or within the region. The importance of making sure that these exotic species are not introduced can be given. An example is where you find carp, the common carp, which was introduced. And today we find out several species of the cyprinids in Africa have been infected by parasites as a result of such introduction. African countries are conscious of this and in 2002 adopted the Nairobi Declaration, which impedes the importation of, or at least regulates, the importation of exotic species into the continent. Selective breeding is being carried out, especially in many areas, and there is an ongoing project, the Volta River project, which is for the improvement of the Nile tilapia, run by FAO, the World Fish Center, and 6 other countries, using selective breeding techniques in the same way that the gift tilapia was developed in Asia. However, the lack of skilled extension services is limiting the transfer or the dissemination of these technologies into other countries. Aquatic health support services are limited, and where they are available, it is usually provided by public health and veterinary services. Financial capital is hard to come by because of the lack of collateral, high interest rates, but soft credit lines have been developed in a number of countries, such as in Nigeria and in Uganda. But self-financing and obtaining loans through associations is the common way of making investments in aquaculture, at least by the small-scale producers. Aquaculture insurance is virtually inexistent. In sub-Saharan Africa, there is plenty of land, but there is high degradation of habitats, especially mangroves, together with the impacts of exotic species. Another major problem in the region at the moment is the collection of seeds for aquaculture purposes. Although the production or the contribution of such activities is very small, especially in the case of the snakehead and the Calfee Pike. It is important to emphasize or to point this out because in the long run, if this is not controlled, it may have disastrous consequences on biodiversity. There are also conflicts with other users, mainly because of the suitability of land as well as the size of land and also because of access. The spread of human diseases through vectors such as snails, for example, Schistosoma mansoni, which is responsible for the spread of bilharzia, or mosquitoes for malaria, is a common phenomenon in the region. There's the emergence of self-regulatory instruments in this area. For example, there is the Code of Conduct for the Responsible and Sustainable Development of Shrimp Aquaculture in Madagascar. There is the Manual for the Commercial Production of African Catfish in Uganda. There are annual audits on some of the farms, and there is ongoing dialogue between the shrimp farmers of Madagascar and WWF for the development or elaboration of the principles and criteria for a certification of shrimp farms. The public conception of the sector is generally good, but in a few cases, this is not so good because abandoned ponds have, in general, served as vectors for the transmission of diseases. At the same time, a number of countries and producers have taken upon themselves to be good environmental stewards. In this respect, we have a zoning of aquaculture in Madagascar, in Mozambique, and in Uganda, and this is also promoting the clustering of producers. We also have, in addition to this, the imposition of strict environmental controls. In Madagascar, all shrimp production, no matter the size, is subjected to environmental impact assessment. In other countries, this is required depending on the scale of activity. In several countries, there are programs for the rehabilitation of mangroves, and as we've already mentioned, there is also annual audits, confidential annual audits in a number of countries, including Uganda, Madagascar, and Mozambique. The development of aquaculture in a number of countries, such as in Nigeria, in Uganda, Ghana, and Zambia, shows the importance of laying emphasis on a market-driven aquaculture as opposed to a social objective. Over the past couple of decades, or the last decade, we've seen a tremendous improvement in the food chain of, in the market chain of aquaculture in sub-Saharan Africa. But this depends, of course, first on the type of product, the producers, which would entail either the presence of middlemen or no intermediaries. However, poor infrastructure and insufficient facilitation are two main constraints to distribution. We note this also that there is the emergence of artisanal fish dressing facilities at farm gates and markets, as many consumers are looking for ready to prepare commodities. At the same time, there's the emergence of an international, intra-regional trade for fish, especially in the Great Lakes region, where most of the catfish, or 51% of the catfish which is produced in Uganda, is sold in the Congos, in Kenya, in Sudan, and a good proportion of processed catfish is exported. There's an increase in the exportation of high-value products, especially the crustaceans and the mollusks. Product labeling is undertaken in a number of countries in Madagascar, Mozambique, South Africa, and Uganda. There is the existence of SOP and HACCP, which is shared with capture fisheries. There's greater emphasis on risk analysis and management, and producers as well as service provider organizations are playing a catalytic role, especially in agenda and priority setting, as was well demonstrated in 2005 in the Fish for All Summit in Abuja, Nigeria, information exchange, and in the production of seeds and feeds. Aquaculture contributes to food security and to the Millennium Development Goals in terms of reduction of poverty as well as hunger, in the sense that in rural areas, small communities are using products from aquaculture, you know, as source of food, and because of the high nutrient of special essential nutrients in fish, even in small quantities, it's making a difference, which in some cases, if this was not there, the people would not be able to live the type of life that they are living. It also plays important roles in Nigeria, Uganda, and a number of other countries in terms of food, employment, and income. It is estimated that, on the whole, 18,000 to 3,000 jobs are provided a year in sub-Saharan Africa, mainly temporary jobs in the aquaculture sector. The prawn farms in Madagascar recruit about 4,000 direct employees, 30% of whom are women, and there are thousands of others in the industry. Aquaculture has also led to the empowerment of women because women are owners of some of the enterprises. However, this has also led to family breakdowns. We've mentioned the stewardship, environmental stewardship, and we don't need to repeat them here. It is reported that climate change would have dramatic effects on the performance of aquaculture, and that this will be more pronounced for the poor, small-scale, marginalized aquaculture communities. And in sub-Saharan Africa, this may become very more pronounced, especially if there are changes in temperatures, if there are changes in water situations, as this might affect the living conditions of most of the people, not and especially the livelihoods assets. The continuous poor global economic situation would also have a negative effect on aquaculture development, as there would be a reduction in support of aquaculture in favor of other sectors. Reductions in overseas development assistance would also mean that support for aquaculture may be limited. But at the same time, a number of governments are taking advantage of the reduction of the debt reduction program, where the highly indebted poor countries, for some countries, their debts have been cut or been reduced. They are taking advantage of that to support aquaculture activities or programs. Civil unrest, which used to be very common in Africa, but presently not so much, also have some negative effects on aquaculture. And this is represented in declining local and foreign investments, capital flight, as well as the loss of manpower. The growth in aquaculture is closely linked to research in a number of countries, but there's low importance that is given to aquaculture research and is inadequately funded. Training is undertaken in national institutions, in universities, as well as on private farms, and participatory extension techniques are being used under the Special Program for Aquaculture Development in Africa, as well as in Uganda, under the FISH program, and this was very instrumental in helping the country over the years to come up with the self-regulatory manual on aquaculture. A number of countries, 26 countries, used the FAO TCDC program to host, over a course of 8 years, between 2000 and 2009, 1,288 experts from other countries. The main countries or recipients were Nigeria, Senegal, Madagascar, Malawi, and Ghana. And the main providers included the People's Republic of China, Vietnam, Cuba, and Egypt. At the same time, 15 sub-Saharan African countries took advantage of the South-South dialogue mechanism and collaborated with NACA to improve on their competence or capacity building and create critical mass for aquaculture. In this respect, 102 professionals were trained between 2002 and 2007 under the auspices of NACA in specific strategic and targeted subject areas. Financial incentives have been provided by a number of countries, particularly in Nigeria and Uganda, where you have soft lines of credit in development banks and as well as in commercial banks as well as in agricultural development banks. In Uganda, for example, there is an innovative program where the government instituted a financial scheme for the best innovations in aquaculture, and this helped in a great way to speed up the development of aquaculture in that country. Governments in some countries, such as in Madagascar, are divesting expensive public services where production facilities have now been privatized and most of the work of the seed production is provided by the private sector. As we've mentioned, there's self-regulatory governance and providers and producers or associations are making a great contribution to the sector. Sub-Saharan Africa countries have directly and indirectly implemented the Bangkok Declaration and used the strategy in several ways. The countries have also adopted the NEPAD Plan of Action for the Development of African Fisheries and Aquaculture and the Special Program for Aquaculture Development in Africa. These three programs complement each other and are not contradictory. As it should be clear by now, the production or development in Africa has been limited to only a few countries. And we have tried to provide in a synthetic form the six major reasons why these countries have made progress, which should serve as a guide for other countries probably to follow. The first is the promotion of private sector-led aquaculture development, which has taken the form of investing in sound management, the establishment of efficient commercial hatcheries, the choice and limitation of species, the development of aqua feeds, the development and use of new and refined production systems, and the role of producer associations. The second is the adoption of good governance, zoning, for example, specific legislation, and favorable fiscal policies. The third is private-public sector linkages, which as government has helped to encourage people to get into the sector, especially as was done in Nigeria, where the government itself invested its own money and asked FAO to help it under its own TCD program to come up with, to help its people to develop. Capacity building and the creation of critical mass has been one of the ways by which these countries have been proactive to make sure that the sector has developed. The provision of financial incentives and credits is also of importance, while emphasis on research and outreach is the fifth major part. In terms of looking forward, the main challenges are what should be done to increase aquaculture's contribution to food security, employment, and economic development, and how can we meet the growing demand for inputs of production, as well as strengthening the base of aquaculture management in terms of research, capacity building, and good governance. The increased severe competition from other users and the limitation of fresh water supplies. But at the same time, we do have a number of opportunities. The leveling up of capture fisheries, the greater international awareness, which was created as a result of the Fish for All Summit in 2005, the designation of fish as a strategic commodity by the African heads of states, the awareness of aquaculture as a viable commercial venture, and the adoption of the NEPAD Plan of Action and SPADA. Governments are also inclined to evoke or come up with better policies and economic reforms, as well as the emergence of dynamic producers' associations. What then can be done? I think the greatest emphasis should be on private sector-led initiatives, where it is supported by governments by creating the enabling environment through better governance, policies, and limited regulations. Governments should divest from expensive services. They should strengthen the base for aquaculture management. We should promote more self-regulatory governance and make improvements and refinements of technologies. And emphasis should be placed on the production of better seeds and aqua feeds, and greater importance on better communication, outreach, and interregional cooperation, as well as implement the outcome of this conference. We hope this is only the beginning and that these positive developments will encourage the expansion of small and medium-sized ventures and that production will continue to increase. It is estimated that by 2015, production from sub-Saharan Africa would be about 400,000 tons. Thank you very much.